We're going to turn this morning to one of the Old Testament Psalms. And we're turning to Psalm 126 in the Bible. It's not a long psalm, but it's a very good one. And we're going to spend 2 weeks looking at some of the things connected with it, as well as talk about the wonderful promise that God gives to us there regarding the gospel that He will bring for us if we are faithful in doing our part. And, of course, we believe in God's sovereignty, but we believe in our responsibility, too, that we have things to do as well. So, Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. I want you to think about a situation here for just a moment. Let's suppose that you found out one day that our country had been taken over by another one. You say, oh, that would be difficult to even conceive of such an idea. But you know, God told Israel long ago, before they entered into the promised land, he said, there's two promises I'm going to make to you. Number one, I will promise to bless you in every way. And when you start reading Deuteronomy chapter 28, you see all the different blessings he promises them. But he also said, if you do not follow my covenant that I made with you at Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb also it's called, I will bring my curses upon you. And then he added one more thing. He said, if that finally happens, that you have turned away from me and the curses of God are coming upon you, eventually, if you do not turn back to me, I will take you out of your land and bring you into another land. They will be controlling your destiny. Now, that sounds like a very serious thing, and it was. But, you know, there's one other piece of good news with it, and that is that God said, if while you are over in the land of captivity, I will see you when you repent and when you turn back to me and want to follow me and my covenant, I will bring you back into your land. I will restore you to the land once again. Now, when we look at Psalm 126 here today, that's what we're looking at. It's good news. It's like they were dreaming one night and they had a very shocking dream. They just heard that in the dream that God had brought them back into their own land again and restored all of their blessings. And you say, well, would God do that? Well, you remember what we've always said here. Every promise that God ever makes is true. And even the promise of their restoration was certainly true as well. And you know, one of the things that happened is that along the way, though, we know that Israel from the Old Testament was in captivity at various times. We know that God eventually brought them out of captivity and brought them back into their land again. It's amazing to think that a nation that has been so long captive to another nation, or in their case, actually two nations, one was in the north and another one came to Judah in the south. But you know, in spite of all this captivity that was happening and God trying to train them properly, they realized that the folly of not serving the Lord. And so when they turned back to him, the Lord said, I will bring you back into your land. And now he's doing it. It was like one night they just went to sleep and they had a dream and they said, wow, you'll never guess what I dreamed last night. It was the most amazing thing, what God was going to do. And you know what? The psalmist says here that God is going to precisely do that. That's what this psalm is talking about. When God restores the fortunes of Zion once again. And that's what's happening here. Then our mouth will be filled with laughter and our tongue will shout with joy. Boy, you talk about a praise session, that was it. They were really praising the Lord because, wow, their land was back. Their home was back. They were back in the land of Zion once again because God was putting his blessing on that nation. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. You notice who they're crediting there? They didn't say, boy, you know, we suddenly got it together and we defeated all of our enemy and we got back in. They said, no, it wasn't that way at all. It was God who brought us in to our land once again like he promised to do. And you know, that's the way it always is. You never have to doubt any God's promises. You know, we can make promises sometimes to one another and many times we fulfill those promises, but sometimes we don't. But you know, God isn't like that. When God makes a promise, if we listen to what he's saying, he will bring fulfillment. And this is a fulfillment song. It's a restoration psalm here. And they say in verse 4 here again, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Have any of you ever been in a desert area and seen what it looks like? You know, if a desert area has been without rain for a long time, sometimes we have that in our country too, where we're waiting for rain and it doesn't come. And we look at some area that's become extremely depressed or dry and kind of almost worn out because of the lack of rain. And we cry out to the Lord and pray, Lord, bring the rain. Well, this man said, in my dream or in my experience now, it's like what happened to us in the Negev desert. It was like a dry land. It was parched. It was worn out. And then all of a sudden what happened? God sent his blessing again. What did he do? He restored the water from above, and pretty soon what were dried up rivers and everything now became flowing streams. There were plants there that were taking place. There was an abundance once again in that area of the world, and it was all because God made it happen. But you know, that's not the end of the story, because we look at this now as something that God did for Israel. But many of the commentators nowadays look at this and they say, you know, it's a lot bigger than what the man is trying to teach us here. Because if God can restore Israel's fortunes, God can restore anyone's fortunes. Now, don't worry. I'm not turning into a health and wealth gospel here. We're not becoming one of those like you see sometimes on TV. You know, do this and you'll have all kinds of money and everything else. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying that God wants to be with his people. There's nothing better than to be a disciple of Jesus and to be following the Lord. The trouble is, a lot of times what happens is that we have, you know, our own ideas and we tell the Lord what we're thinking and then we pray about it and say, Lord, come and bless our plan. Wrong. That's the wrong way to do it. It's not our plan that matters. It's not my will that matters. It's not your will ultimately that matters either. What is it? We want God's will. We want God to lead. We are mere followers. Do you ever, when you were a little kid, play a game, you know, follow the leader? And that's an important thing. That's what we're doing as Christians. We're following the leader. Who's the leader? Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. And he's the one that's giving direction to us. Now, I want to look at the promises that God makes here in the final verses of the psalm. And I want to look at four things that God basically tells us about here, and we're going to look at two of them this morning and two of them next Sunday. I thought it was probably a little more than we could cover in one session, and I didn't want to keep you here too long. But anyway, two sessions, and we can work out the content of bringing in the sheaves. You know, that's very important even for farmers nowadays too. We want to see our harvest be a successful thing. And here he's telling them that even the gospel can be successful too, not just our physical ministry, but even the flowing that God can bring sometimes through the sharing of the gospel. Sometimes we think, oh, it doesn't make any difference, you know. But God says, do your part and let me take charge. Let me lead. Let me be the one who is restoring the fortunes, and I will make it all happen. And so he starts out with a thing here. He says, that it involves, first of all, going. We need to be going. Secondly, we need to be weeping. Thirdly, we need to be sowing. And fourthly, we need to be reaping. And yet all of these four things are in this particular psalm, and we want to just talk about them a little bit. You know, when it comes to going and going for the gospel, sometimes that's one of the hardest things in the world for a Christian to do. They don't want to go out and talk to people about the Lord, and it's not that they're ashamed of the Lord or of His salvation or of His blessings, but you know what? The problem is sometimes we have all kinds of reasons why they won't work. You know, we have our own social life that we want to fulfill. We have sports. We have dinners that we have to go to. We have all kinds of things that come along and crowd out, and many times they crowd out the best things. I remember one of our old mottos years ago in the 4-H Club, we want to make the best better. And that's what we should be doing as Christians too, not looking for just something that's good. We want something that's best. And the only thing that's best for our lives as Christians is what? What does God want us to do? What does He say? And so, you know, going is an important thing. That doesn't have to mean, first of all, that you go off to a far-off land. Now, some ministries do that. Obviously, even Johnny and Friends, who I mentioned earlier, they are bringing wheelchairs to many parts of the world and doing a disability ministry in many parts of the world. But, you know, besides going to far-off land, sometimes it means going to your neighbor, or it means going to one of your friends. Or it means going to somebody who is close at hand. But many times what happens? We remember everything but the most important thing, and that is before Jesus Christ went back to heaven, He said, I'm going to give you my great commission. And that great commission, by the way, it was not an option. That's not something that we can say, well, I think I like that, I'll do it. And many people will say, well, you know, I don't have time to do that. I'll let, you know, somebody else worry about that. That's not the way the gospel was spread in the New Testament. In the New Testament, after the great covenant was given by our Lord, what happened? After the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, you know the story. The people went out and almost like showers from heaven, 3,000 people are brought to Christ by a man who just a couple of months before had denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus Christ. How could God turn a blessing around like that? A man like Peter, who was so far removed from his fellowship with God, and yet all of a sudden God is using him to bring 3,000 people to Christ. Well, when the Lord is in charge, great things can happen. You know, and that wasn't long after that, they were up another 2,000. 5,000 people in just a matter of a couple weeks. All because the Lord was acting. The trouble is that across our land today, what are we seeing? We're seeing many churches come and go because they start and they don't continue. Now, this one has continued for a while, but, you know, as you know, too, like many churches nowadays, we're in a situation where, you know, we could use some help. And, you know, but we don't want just God to come along and bless our plans. We want God to come along and bring His plan. We want His will, whatever He wants us to do. But that's why we need to pray for 2 weeks and be talking about this in, you know, not just amongst ourselves, but we need to talk to God. That's where the answers are found, in Him. And, you know, sometimes we're just apathetic. Sometimes we're just fearful. You know, we think questions like, well, what will other people think about me if I do this? What will they say about me if I do this? They're going to think I'm some kind of a nut, you know. One day D.L. Moody went around and years ago and talked to a lady on the street and started sharing the gospel with her, and she answered to him, well, then that is, sir, is none of my business. Oh, he said, on the contrary, he said, it is my business. Then she said, then you must be Dwight L. Moody. She knew that because he had a reputation for what? For sharing the gospel. Not to be unnecessarily offensive to people. That's not what we're suggesting. But you know, we all have little moments where we can share the word with others. How are the world going to hear about the gospel if we don't share it? You know, one of the things, we're actually holding back our blessings right now because the imminency of Jesus Christ's return here to the earth is dependent on how quickly the gospel gets forth. The Bible says that we can hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's plan, but you know what? God has orchestrated his plan so that he is also using us to be responsible in the fulfilling of the plan. And the more faithful we are and the more aggressive we are in getting the gospel out to the whole world, we find that God is quicker about also one day bringing himself back to earth and restoring his kingdom and finally his eternal kingdom of a new heaven and a new earth. That's all our future. I mean, you talk about restored fortunes. You've got something coming for you in the years ahead that is out of this world. It's incredible. And it's something that is so great that eye have not seen it, ear has not heard about it. It hasn't entered into the mind of man. You haven't even dreamed it. It's so amazing. And yet God is going to bring it about. We know that because he promised it. When God promises, it's a done deal. It'll always happen. So, we can't let the age that we are at this time in our life, we can't let our fear of doing this. It's a question of obedience. You know, the Lord had to teach this even to Saul, the king of Israel. Saul came one day and thought that he had pleased the Lord because he had followed his own advice and then thought that God would give approval to the whole thing. And the Lord said, no, I'm not giving approval to it, Saul. To obey is better than to sacrifice. And it's better to listen, to hearken, than even religious activities like the fat of rams and all the things they did in the Old Testament. So that's the first one. Are we going? What does it mean? Speaking to the opportunities that we have. We all have them, but we need to start asking God for one, opportunities to do this. We know that he wants us to do it. We don't have to ask him, say, well, Lord, if it's your will, I will do this. It's already declared to be his will. The question now is whether we will seek to know the rest of his will, and that is when and where and how and, you know, as God provides the way. That's what we need to do. We need to be going, though. Secondly, this morning, we need to be also going, as it says here, we should be going weeping. Now, I want you to think that this weeping here is not always necessarily a sad thing. When we think about weeping, we think about, you know, people who are crying and hurt very sad and all of this kind of thing. But you see, the weeping that they were having here in this psalm is what? Probably a lot of happy weeping. They had just dreamed a dream and seen the Lord coming back to them. They had just seen the Negev desert now blossoming. They had seen God doing a great work and they were weeping, all right, but sometimes there are tears of joy, not just tears of sorrow and sadness. But it all comes when we let God have his way. You know, we have our part to play, but we line up with God, not the other way around. God not lining up with us. It's not we who are calling the shots. We are not God. The Lord is God. There's nobody else like it. Nobody else that has that glory. Like we were reminded in the video sessions here, God doesn't want to share his glory with anyone. God's glory is for himself. That's why we're all here. We're all here not only to bring people to salvation. We're here to glorify God in whatever we do, our work, our talents, whatever we have, anything we can to glorify the name of the Lord. It's not about us, but it's all about him. But when we come, we need to come as those who are weeping. There's nothing wrong with getting a bit emotional about the gospel. You don't have to become a nut. You don't have to come out and, you know, act in some strange ways. But still, we need to remember that there are a lot of ways that we can show deep concern. I just listed a bunch of them here. You know, we are to go how far? Well, we're to make sure that the gospel gets out to the whole world. And we have a part in them. One of the reasons why we have the motto here, the whole word to the whole world, is because that's what we believe God told us to do. That's not just for anybody, that's for everybody that's a believer. And the good news is that it can be anywhere. You know, recently some of those wheelchairs that were given so faithfully by the group of people here at Faith Chapel were taken down to one of the area prisons where prisoners are now working on restoring them back to proper condition with their camps that they have and everything and training programs. And they're putting them back together again, restoring them. And now, guess what? You know, eventually 200,000 wheelchairs are going to get out to the whole world. That's pretty impressive. But you know what? Forget the numbers. Forget even the physical blessings that are coming to people. Just think about this. That now, because of strong feelings on our part, we have an opportunity to see the gospel go to the whole world. What could be better than that? You know, the Bible said that God is not willing that any should perish, and yet all are not going to be saved. You know that. You know, God is going to bring those who are willing to come to Him through true faith in His Son. And you know, place their life before Him. But you see, that's not our choice, and we don't know where God is working, but that's why we want to know. We ask. We cry out to You, Lord, show us the path. We are coming to You weeping and asking for Your blessing, and we come confidently even in when we weep, because we know that God is going to do something. How do we know that? Because God promised. He said, you might be going forth sowing precious seed, but it looks like, nothing's working here. It doesn't work to share the gospel with people. It's an empty thing. But you know, people have been saved, and they've even been saved right here. You know, it's been a wonderful blessing over the years to see things like that happen. But more than that, it can be in much greater terms than we maybe even think about. God wants to bring forth in such a way that we will come rejoicing, doing what? Bringing in the sheaves. That's a promise that God is going to bless the harvest. You know, at this time of the year, we're sitting here, you know, crying out to the Lord, Lord, help us get through this. We want to be able to take care of the harvest. And, you know, it seems like one day it's raining and the next day it's this and it's that. And we've had several different weather problems this summer, and we've seen some of the effects on area crops and everything. But you know what? God is still in charge. And in spite of even the challenges that we've had, when we cry out to Him, God still is the one who provides. God gives. Why is that? Because He is not a stingy, uncaring God. We ought to rejoice and praise the Lord, because the Lord is a great God. He is a God of grace. He wants to give us more grace, and He wants to bestow His blessings on us all the time. And when you think about this here, this is why we need to do this important thing. If you think weeping is a little bit something that's out of order, let me remind you that our Lord Jesus Christ wept. When He came into Jerusalem and He saw that city there of Jerusalem that was sitting there just before He went to the cross, knowing that He was about to die on that cross for the sins of the world, yet He didn't cry just because it was going to happen to Him. He looked at the whole city and He said what? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. That's an important thing. Sometimes people know the truth, but they will not do it. But you know, when people respond to the truth and listen to God, what He's saying, He's not trying to hurt them by what He says to them. He's trying to help them. And the fact is, even Jesus knew that, and He cried out to the Father Himself. I mean, you want to see how to pray in the will of God for God to bring forth a blessing? Just look at Jesus' prayer over Jerusalem there. It's a good picture of somebody who even brought his very weeping to the prayer session itself. So what we'd like to have you do, though, as we think about this week, we don't want just to have people running around willy-nilly and doing whatever they think is the right thing to do. We want to be able to work together, cooperatively, not just the board, not just me, not just one or two people in the church who are important people that we think. You know, it's all of us together working. But how are we going to know? Well, as we put here in the conclusion, we need to pray and know where God wants us and for God to show us. Just remember that. Pray and know. Pray and show. Those things are always true. We need to pray. We need God to give us the information And we also need to have God show us the opportunities as they come. And remember, too, that whenever we do this, we need to be as those who are ready as Christians to do what? To give an answer at all times when men require a question of us. And they say, well, you know, how come you are so excited about Christianity? I mean, if you want to have your religion, fine, just leave it alone. You know, don't bother anybody else with it. I mean, why should we bother to tell anybody else about that? I'm telling you, we're talking about eternity. Eternity is strong business, man. It lasts forever. It's going to keep on going year after year after year. And you know what? We haven't even begun to see it. And yet when we read about heaven's glories and the picture that is there, it's going to be an incredible place. You know, I just say, don't you want to be there? Don't you want to have others come there? Maybe people will be there because of something that you said or that you helped to do by telling them about it. But the important thing, too, is not only asking God, but when he answers and shows us his will, we need to work cooperatively with him. Remember, he's the leader. We're just followers. And that's meaning to do what? For let him lead the way. You know, when it comes to God's salvation, I just want to say that God always takes the initiative of it. What did Jesus say? John 6:44, he said, no man can come unto me. No man, nobody. Not even if you are a Christian now. You could not have come if God did not draw you. God is the one taking the initiative that has brought you to that point to even receive him as, you know, your Savior. Receive him as your Lord of your life. The Bible says what too in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? The natural man receives not the things of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people say, well, any man who is willing can come. Yeah, any man who is willing, but how many are willing? The Bible says that nobody in the whole world is willing. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither indeed can he know them. Not only does he not want them by nature, they can't even come unless what? Unless the Spirit of God leads them to it. It's God's work from beginning to end. And you know what we need to do? We need to be working in his program, not our program. So, part one today, and we'll move on to some other things about this next week as we look at this restoration here of Israel's fortunes, but not only Israel, but you know, God can even bless our nation. God can bless our community. God can bless our friendships, our social activities with people. God can do all kinds of things. Who puts the limits out? Not God. God says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We need to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth reapers. And that's what we're seeing here in this psalm. Let's pray to God now. Lord, thank you for letting us have this time together and be able to just fellowship together and enjoy the singing that has been so beautiful this morning here. We thank you for the songs that we sang and the opportunities that we have to greet one another and see each other once again. And some that haven't been here for a little while, we just are so thankful to see everybody come. And Lord, it's a blessing because we know that you make all of these things possible. You always take the initiative. But Lord, help us to do our part, to be faithful. And Lord, one of those things is to pray the Lord of harvest that you will help us in this. And so we do. We come before you and say, please, in this next 2 weeks, help us not to waste this time. We're not asking for a special prayer meeting. We're not asking for people to just all do this together. We're asking for people wherever they are, in their home, in their car, in their situations, wherever they are. Just be talking to the Lord. Lord, show us what you want. We believe that you will give us an answer. He that cometh unto me, the Bible says, I will in no wise cast out. And I believe that includes not only salvation, but it also includes even the prayers that we faithfully offer to him, seeking to do his will. I pray this now, asking it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.